your desire this morning. Oh, draw me. Draw me, Lord. And I'll come running after you. Draw me. Draw me, Lord. And I'll come running after you. You alone is all I need. You alone is all I need. For you are my destiny. You alone, oh, you alone are all I need. For you alone I am complete. So Him. Oh, yes, draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you. Oh, draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you. I'll come running after you. Hallelujah. Oh my. It's that drawing power of the Holy Ghost that draws us into His chambers, draws us into Him. Amen. Let's sing that chorus, the Master of the, I know the Master of the Wind. It's in a B flat. How many know who you serve this morning? Amen. Have you come to hear from Him? Come to hear from the voice of God this morning. He's here to meet every need. And we know it because we've experienced it. Amen. We know Him. I know the Master of the wind. And I know the Maker of the rain. And He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. And I know the Master of the wind. Let's sing that to Him once more. Oh, I know the Master of the wind. Oh, I know the Maker of the rain. And He can calm the sun shine again, and I know the Master of the wind. troubles seem. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a Father, He watches over me. When the breeze turns into the gale, and I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the maker of the rain, and He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. Hallelujah. I know the master of the wind. And sometime I soar like an eagle through the sky. Above the peaks my soul can be found. We've all been there. But an unexpected storm may drive me from the heights, may bring me low, but never bring me down. Oh, hallelujah. I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the maker of the rain. And He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. He's able. I know the master of the wind. Let's sing that first verse again. And my boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, we have a Father. We have a Father. He watches over me. And when the breeze turns into the gale, and I know the master of the wind, oh, I know the maker of the rain, and He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. And sometimes I soar like the eagle in the sky. Above the peaks my soul can be found. But an unexpected storm may drive me from the highs. Oh, it brings me low, but it never brings me down. And I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the maker of the rain. And He can calm the storms, make the sun shine again. And I know the master. Sing it with all your heart. Oh, I know the master of the wind. And I know the maker of the rain. And He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. And I know the master of the wind. Hallelujah. Let's sing that chorus, Mercy Rewrote My Life, as Brother Don comes this morning, gets prepared for this morning responsive reading. So good to know who controls the winds and the rains and the trials in our life. We just need to put our trust in Him. Sometimes He brings those trials to put our trust and raise our faith up. But we also know there's mercy there this morning. And it rewrote our life. It wrote our names on the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Mercy rewrote my life. Oh, God's mercy rewrote my life. For I should have fallen. My soul cast down. us all stand this morning. Oh, God's mercy, it rewrote my life. Hallelujah. Oh, it's your mercy, it rewrote my life.
Good to see everybody here this morning. We're going to read this morning in Hebrews. We're going to be reading chapter 13, 1 through 8. This one will say a short word to the author before we read. If you would, bow your head and pray with me. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us to come together around your precious word, Lord, that you sent to heal us and deliver us from our own destruction, Father God. Let it be so, Lord, as your word comes forth. And we ask this morning to just touch and bless those that couldn't make it through the door again today, Lord, that belong here, our brothers and sisters, and be with them and lift them up and strengthen them. And Father God, bless the ones that are here, that are blessed to come and hear your word. Bless Brother Dale as he's prepared to come and bring his word to us this morning, Lord. And Father God, I ask you just to come down and anoint this evening service for Brother Wade and bless each one here as your word comes forth to us. Father, now as we read your word, forgive us of our sins, lead and guide us and sanctify us, Father God. We ask these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews 13, 1 through 8. Let brotherly love continue.
Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, but thereby some have entertained demons unaware.
Remember them that are in bond, and bond with them, and them which suffer adversity, as yourselves also in the body. Let your conversation be without covertness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Bless the reading of the word. Yeah.
Amen. It's like the theme scripture of our lives, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have the spiral songbook near you. Let's turn to page 693. How many want to surrender more to the Lord? It's giving him the full preeminence. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and the scripture says to always put the Lord before you, his word, write it up on your doorpost and things. And we have scripture. Maybe sometime when you leave here, I don't know how many people have read that scripture back there and that quote, but it talks about the preeminence of God in your life, giving him the full preeminence, total surrender unto him, that we may be more like him. Amen. The more than I surrender, the lighter my load, and the more that I release my cares, the more you take control, and the more than I can humble myself, the more you lift me up, and every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Let's sing that to him again. Oh, the more I surrender, and the lighter my load.
cares, Lord, the more you take control. And the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. And every day I live, Lord, I love you more. It gets easier to understand the road I'm traveling down. No more wavering or wandering. I'm standing on solid ground. And I know I'm headed to my future home. And the voice I hear is yours alone. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Oh, the more than I surrender, the lighter my load. And the more than I release my cares, the more you take control. The more than I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. And every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Last verse. And the problems I had on yesterday are stepping stones to a higher place. The trials that seem so awesome to me are now my banner of victory. And I know I'm headed to my future home. And the voice I hear is yours alone. Every day I live, Lord, I love. Oh, let that be your confession this morning. Oh, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more than I can ease my cares, the more you take control. The more than I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. And every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Let's sing that last verse again. The problems I had on yesterday are a stepping stone to a higher place. The trials that seemed so awesome to me are now my banners of victory. And I know I'm headed to my future home. And the voice I hear is yours alone. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Oh, the more than I surrender, the lighter my load. The more than I release my cares, the more you take control. The more than I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. And every day I live, Lord, let's all stand and just sing it with all your heart. Oh, the more than I surrender, the lighter my load. The more than I release my cares, the more you take control. The more than I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Sing it to him again. Oh, the more than I surrender, the lighter my load. The more than I release my cares, Lord, the more you take control. The more than I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. And every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's all in the surrendering that you know more of his love and the more you can love. Amen. We're going to ask Jonas if he would come up here and take the offering. Still got 2 minutes left, so I knew there was something that I was missing.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus before Brother Dale comes out.
Holy Spirit fall upon this place. It was in the key of C. There.
Holy Spirit fall on this place. Father, fill us with love and grace. Shine your anointing on every face. Oh, Holy Spirit, fall on. Let that be the prayer of your heart this morning. Oh, Holy Spirit, fall on this place. And Father, fill us with love and grace. Shine your anointing on every face. Oh, Holy Spirit, fall. Let's sing it to him once more as we... Oh, Holy Spirit, fall on this place. Father, fill us with love and grace. Shine your anointing on every face. Holy Spirit, fall on this place. Amen. Let's change the order of the service. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. I want to see
see him, don't you? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelations 20 and Romans 14. Revelations 20, Romans 14. Good to see Sister Cleta back there with us. That's one thing you got to say. When people come in, they make the rest of us ashamed of ourselves. Because they come in when they're sick. And they report in and they pray and they're there. So that should shock all of us just a little. Make us more dedicated. Make us more concerned, you know, about everything, okay? Revelations 20 and Romans 14. Brother Boyd and Sister Monica's classes are going to be meeting in the sanctuary at 12:40 today to practice the singing, okay? Everybody got it? 12:40. Okay. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace, your love and your understanding of us. Thank you for you. We ask you to just be with us today in your love and let your light shine in our hearts. Let your grace and understanding be sufficient for all of our needs, because we know they are. And we pray that you'd bless each one. Remember the sick among us. Remember the ones that, Lord, are sin sick, that are still having problems, struggling with all of this viruses and the different things and all around the world. And just bless each one and just come among us and do as you said you would, that you'd take care of all of our needs. So we believe you and we thank you. Forgive our sins and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember the Lord William Wade's preaching this afternoon. Remember that. And Brother Luis will be ministering Wednesday. So remember those two. You'll be gone next weekend. We'll see you on that. Okay. All right. I want to take up where we were that last weekend, because I want to make sure that you follow me in what I'm trying to teach on this thought. And we had just like questions and answer part of it, but I want us to make sure we understand and get everything in the right order, because I don't want us to misunderstand and say, well, I just didn't believe that. I didn't understand that. Well, the best thing to do is just to take a thought about it, and we'll try to consider it, okay? All right. Revelations 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. And the beloved city and the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Books, plural now. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the deeds and the dead were judged of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. All right, now keep in mind what we're covering, and we'll get to thought in a minute now. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Now judged, watch now. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. All right. Let's go to Romans now, because what we're going to do is try to pick up our thought from last week. So, we'll get it. Romans 14. Mm-hmm. Let's start with verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You believe that? For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You may be seated. The Lord had his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we had a question about this last week, and I just want to make sure now, the main point, I want to make sure that you understand what is being said, and that way we can follow it through it. And there won't be any trouble with something come up and say, well, what is this and what is that? Now, we've read here in Revelations 20 that there is a great white throne, a judgment seat. All right? And there'll be people there. There's thousands of thousands are sitting there and all. All right? And it's a judgment seat, white throne judgment. Okay? Then we read in Romans 14 that we were all going to sit before the judgment seat of Christ or stand before it. All right? Now, let's get that straight because, see, if we don't, we've got a vast confusion in our minds because it's talking about a white throne. It's there in the scripture, you know, Revelation, a great white throne. It's placed in order of showing that it has to be after the millennium. It has to be after the thing. And, you know, we read that, and we'll give Brother Branham in a minute to show why. So then you'll understand more about it. But now, to think about it, a great white throne judgment. Then we read that Paul is talking about a judgment. A judgment seat of Christ. All right? Now, are we going to stand before the white throne judgment? Are we going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? It's hard to comprehend the two different thoughts because one of them is a great white throne judgment. And it's picked up, as we'll get back to it in a minute, but it's picked up to be the same judgment that is in Daniel 7:9-10 there. Daniel is speaking of the white throne judgment. All right? Revelation is speaking of the white throne judgment, that people will be standing before the judgments. All right? Now, but at the same time, we have Paul speaking in Romans of a judgment seat of Christ that we'll all have to sit before or stand before. And that's picked up in 2 Corinthians 5 as another account to where Paul is covering the judgment seat of Christ. All right? So now, let's get that straight because that was the question that was asked, and I don't want you to be confused about what is it. You know, I want you to have an understanding. If you don't, then ask me a question about it, and we'll try to speak some more about it or clear it up. But I want you to be clear. Does the bride of Jesus Christ stand before the white throne judgment? No.
Amen.
All right. The bride of Christ does not stand before the white throne judgment.
Amen.
All right? So then, what Daniel was speaking of and what John was speaking of in Revelation of a white throne judgment or a judgment seat, it cannot be applied to the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To be sitting at the white throne judgment.
Amen.
Because if it would be, then that would put us in pitiful situation.
Yes. Amen.
The white throne judgment is a judgment not only of the deeds in the body, you know, the things we do, but it's a judgment of whether or not that you can go into eternal life.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Amen.
The white throne judgment is a judgment of a decision to find out whether or not you can enter into eternal life.
That's right. Amen.
All right? So then we see that that cannot be the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because she does not stand before the judgment seat.
Amen.
She sits on the judgment
Amen.
Seat.
Amen.
All right? Amen. We understand that? She sits on the judgment seat with him
Amen.
Judging
yep. right.
the people. All right? So it's not the fact that we have the separation of it and fully in control of the scriptures, even though it looks like, you got this one as a judgment seat, you got this one as a judgment seat, but get it to correct into which is what and what's going on. All right? At the great white throne judgment, which is placed after the millennium, after the, and winding up, you know, in the finishing of all things. All right. Now, the bride of Jesus Christ does not stand before that white throne. She sits on that throne with him, judging the people. All right? Are you following me? Is that clear now? Is that, you understand what I'm saying? I want that point drove in to where that you'll understand. The bride does not stand before the white throne judgment. Why? Because she's born again.
Amen.
She receives eternal life here.
Amen.
The white throne judgment will be a judgment seat of a decision whether or not to go into eternal life.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Now, in doing that, then, the white throne will not be to the bride. It'll be to those that she's sitting there to judge.
Yep, right.
All right? Now, do we understand that? Is that clear? We don't stand before the white throne judgment. We'll give you these in a minute from the prophet. We don't go before the white throne judgment because why would you go before the white throne judgment if you're a born-again Christian?
Amen.
Like Brother Branham said, a good illustration, he said, you're going to put your wife through a test? You remember that, you know? He said, you're going to put your wife through a test to decide whether or not, you know, she's worthy? Well, why are you going to wait and do that? I thought you picked her for your wife to be your helpmate. So then it goes to show that white throne judgment is not a decision, or the bride of Christ will not be sitting there. She'll be sitting with him on that judgment, judging others. All right? Now that fulfills the scriptures then. All right? But I want to make sure you understand that and don't have no parts in your mind to say, but why would we sit before the judgment seat of Christ? I've confessed all of my sins here. Why would it be a judgment seat of Christ? And what is that judgment seat? But get it clear. Now where there won't be any problem. The bride does not go before the white throne judgment. Because that is on after that she's done lived 1,000 years in the millennial reign. She's done went through that part of it. She's went through the parts of going up in a rapture. And being with God. And it's already determined that she's has eternal life.
Right. That's right.
Well, why would she be judged?
Nope.
What is there to be judged about a born again believer?
Right.
Right. Right. It cannot be a decision of eternal life because that's what you receive.
Amen.
We receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, giving us eternal life, and that way we don't have to worry about standing before the white throne judgment. Let alone to think about that there's people sitting on that judgment seat with Him that will be judging those that are outside of that. And to know that bride of Christ, that wife, will sit with him in judgment. Because it said about the 17th or right in our 18th chapter where it said, and his wife hath made herself ready.
Amen.
Well, that's a way back.
Amen.
You've already gotten eternal life by the new birth. And if you die, it doesn't make no difference. You go by the grave. And you'll come up
Amen.
In the resurrection.
Amen.
And you don't have to worry about the judgment.
Nope.
All right? But if you're alive, then you remain, you know, and you can go up in a rapture.
Amen.
Well, you don't have to be concerned about it. But I want to make sure you get that now. I mean, you know, don't come up later and say, well, Brother Dale, do you think the bride? No, the bride is not going to go before, you know, have to stand before the white throne judgment. What for?
Amen.
That's a decision of eternal life.
Yep.
Huh? You say, but then what about this other part that you've read? What about standing before the judgment seat of Christ? Right. See, then let's make sure to get it right now. And so we won't place this one over here and this one over here. See, then there is two judgments. One of them is called a Bema judgment. I don't know what the other one is, but anyhow, it doesn't matter to me because I just know the big Greek word ain't going to spell nothing. It's a revelation from God to realize that we do not have to go before the white throne. What a wonderful opportunity.
Amen.
What about a new birth and what it does for you and I?
Amen.
It gives us eternal life right here now.
Amen.
We don't have to wait and go somewhere to be judged to finally decide whether we can go to heaven or not.
No. Amen.
Because the born again experience, new birth, gives you eternal life now. And see, you become the Christ,
yeah,
the same as he's the Christ.
Amen.
All right? And sit with him.
Amen.
You become the anointed. He's anointed. We're the anointed. We're the bride of Christ.
Amen.
What a wonderful opportunity to be able to think about eternal life. And the fact of that eternal life being to you and I, that we don't have to go before any judgment to receive it. It's already set here when you accept Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right. I keep saying that. I want you to hear that. Because I don't want no question to that point. I don't mean, I don't, you know, I'm glad to always try to answer a question. But I'm just saying, if we get it right, then we won't be thinking about it.
Amen.
But get what goes with what.
Amen.
All right. There is, according to the Bible, the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, a great white throne judgment.
Amen.
All right? That is according to the Bible.
Amen.
And that is sitting there to be determined whether or not, and it's got books. Books, plural.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. Right? You've got books at each one of those, the, you know, Revelations and Daniel. Books, plural. Why? Because there's deeds there that's done in the body. And those books will show what we are. All right? But then there's a book there that is called the Book of Life. Right? I mean, that's a great white throne judgment now. There will be a Book of Life. And if your name is in that book, then you have an opportunity to receive eternal life at that judgment. But if your name's not in the book,
Amen.
Then there is no chance of judgment for you. It's all finished.
Amen.
It's done. You don't have no court of appeal. It won't be that we could go before the great white throne and say, yeah, but Lord, look what I done. Look what I done. Look what happened here. Look how I done this. I done that. If you're at the white throne judgment, there's no mercy. It is turned from the fact of you being totally lost and God then can take your place. So don't think I don't know the message. Don't think I don't know that I can, you know, I can read. I know where Brother Branham said it probably about 35 or 40 times of that man that stands out there, you know, and Jesus has to come and stand in his place and he took my place. And but that's not the white throne. That's the reason I'm wanting you to see it and dwell on it heavily to where you can see it. Paul, what was his name? Paul Ryan? Anyhow, it was the guy, you know, about the riding the log and it going into camp and things. But just remember, that's not the white throne. Because you don't go to the white throne as bride of Christ.
Amen.
You can't do that. You can't put the bride at the white throne. But see, you say, well, we've got all of these quotes here about it. That this one man, well, that's good. But be careful how you're placing that. Because it does say that Jesus comes up and stands there. Somebody took my place. Well, if somebody took my place, then that meant I was a born-again believer. Right? That's what he's doing, taking my place. All right? But not just because if you can read that and see that this story is told over and over by the prophet of a judgment seat and having to be standing there, and you have a court of appeal that you can appeal to the white throne. But remember, it's not a court of appeal to the white throne. What are you going to appeal to?
Right.
Who are you going to appeal to?
Right.
So then it's not the prophet explaining it to where he's doing it that way. He's explaining the other one. I want you to get that and make sure you keep it in your mind. He's explaining the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
Not the white throne. Because there's no record of the white throne to where he stands in place of somebody. Now I know the difference in the goats and the sheep, and I know what I'm talking about in that. Alright, so we can read that. There will be at the white throne judgment goats and sheep, but remember, goats are sinners that are lost. Sheep at the white throne are not the bride. That's your foolish virgin that can be given eternal life. That's those that will be receive eternal life at the white throne judgment because of their deeds done in the body. All right? So we're covering it, each one. All right? Now, so do you understand what I'm saying? At that white throne, it will not be a regular judgment. It'll be a judgment seat that we sit on, that judgment seat with him judging others according to the Bible, where it says, fear not, you know, what are you thinking about it? You're judging this, you're judging that. He said, we judge angels. The Bible says we judge angels. And why should we try to judge each other? What right do we have to judge each other? What thoughts or things could come into our mind that would consider the fact of trying to judge each other? Are you trying to be something that you're thinking somebody done something against you, and boy, you're going to get even with them at the white throne? Better be careful. There's two sides at that white throne. One side is sitting out there, and the other side is sitting up on the throne. So you better be careful which one. Don't get on the wrong side. You understand what I'm saying? So let's don't start judging each other. See, we're not to judge each other. The Bible says don't take a brother to law. Well, now, Brother Dale, we need to get this clear. That's what the Bible said. I didn't say it. Why does it say it that way? Because brothers should, or sisters, whatever, just saying it always, you should be able to work out your problems without having to go to court.
Right. That's right.
Now, I'm preaching. So if you think I'm talking about you, that's who I'm talking about. Okay? Now come on, then get it straight. Let's don't play games. You say, well, what are we going to do? Somebody owes us this, that, or the other. Well, are you going to try to figure out whether that's a brother or not? You know, are you going to de-Christianize everybody that goes against you? Are you going to put them at the white throne and you sitting in front of them? That's not the Christian attitude. The Christian attitude should be of the bride of Christ to be able to stand there and say, come on, I can quote Brother Branham. He said, do you remember that helped you do this? That helped, you know, something went wrong. You done this, you know. But my point is this, to try to get you to lay it down in our thoughts. What is the judgment seat of Christ? What is the judgment seat of Christ? When we know it's not the white throne judgment. That we know for sure, right? That's All we spend all this time trying to define that point, and then we'll read some of what the prophet said to where it won't be what I've said. But then what is the judgment seat of Christ? I had a brother here one time trying to preach on marriage and divorce. And he said, your marriage and divorce problem was gone by the new birth. And I come right back to this pulpit and said, that's wrong. You don't put your problems like that. You know. But I thought the new birth cleared me. The new birth clears us. Make sure we don't go to hell. It sets us free, yes. But just remember, as we get down to the scripture, some men's sins go before, some follow after. If they go before, they're wiped away. If they follow after, what is left to follow after? Yeah, but that's just where you don't believe in grace. I believe in grace, but not disgrace.
Amen. That's right.
I don't believe it's all right for me to live like the devil, but I claim to everybody to be a Christian. But see, that's why that to me, I have to be straight and blunt, okay? Maybe you've had trouble. Maybe you've had problems. That's for you to figure out and to do and to get straight and do yours. But just make sure you don't have nothing left over. Because there is a judgment seat of Christ. And the prophet says it and the Bible says it, that we'll all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Well, brother, you just don't understand. The new birth takes care of everything. Does it? May I quote the prophet? When the woman said, but I confess that sin to God. Right? What did the prophet say? But you didn't sin against God in that adulterous act. You sinned against your husband. You got to go to him first. See, we got it right. We got an understanding. We know where we're standing, so don't play with it. But you see, we think we can do this and we can do that. But Brother Dale, my Lord, you've been so hateful lately. You've just brought out every bit of the things and just stomped our feet and just, you know. Well, one of these days you'll pat me on the back and say thank you.
Yep, amen.
You'll do it. You see, I don't have to worry about it. Because the truth is the truth. I have to say it like it is, like the other day when I was preaching so hard about tithing. I have to say it like it is. But see, everybody thinks that I say things because it helps me. No, probably hinder me more than anything else because, you know, some people will get up and walk out eventually because they can't stand it. See, if you think that your new birth took care of your marital problems, you're in trouble. All sin is without the body except fornication, which is of the body. What does that mean? It's what the Bible says. All right? It means in simple, plain language, all sin can be forgiven. But there's ways that are withholding for us to be able to get rid of those problems.
Amen.
And that's why it's so serious.
Amen.
If you sinned against your wife or sinned against your husband, you got to go to them first.
Right.
Yeah, but I went to God. God won't listen to you.
Nope.
Now, that's what your prophet said.
That's right.
You see, that way I'm trying to save your soul. And like I was talking about, even like tithing, where Brother Brown said that little girl or that person took some money and said God held it against him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
See, we're serving a just God. We're not serving a, just a play around haphazardly.
Right.
The little bitty things, the little foxes is what's spoiling our vines.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But do you understand now? Do you see what I'm talking about? The bride does not go before the white throne judgment. She sits on the white throne judgment judging others. So things have got to be made right by then. Now, I'm as serious as I can be about it. I want somebody to show me. I want to know whether this judgment seat of Christ comes in that and where it takes place. Because I can't place it. I know that it would have to be before the white throne. Maybe somebody can help me with it to understand it. Right? But I know it's got to be the judgment seat of Christ has got to be before the white throne, because there would be no way for you to sit at the white throne on the seat next to Christ with sin in your life, something that you didn't get right here.
Amen.
So it'll have to be before the white throne.
Amen.
I do know that much. Now, I'm going to say this, and I know I ain't going to get through, but I'm going to say this plain. This right here is more valuable than you ever thought of, is the stature of a perfect man. That message is more valuable than you ever thought of in your life. You ought to wire the book out or the tape. Because you see, that's exactly what's taking place right now. That's doing away with my sins. That's doing away with what sins I've got. Yeah, but a Christian don't sin. Christians is the only one that can sin.
Amen.
Come on, I know the prophet.
Amen.
I've got it laying right here before me. One quote he says directly, sins, Christians do not sin. You cannot sin as a Christian.
Yep.
Then he turned around and said, a Christian is the only one that can sin.
Yep. Right.
Now what are you going to do?
Well, I just don't
understand. You say one thing, then another. I say what the prophet said.
Right. Yes.
I'm saying what the Bible said. There are two judgments in the Bible.
Amen. Yes.
One of them is the great white throne judgment.
Amen.
The other one is a judgment of the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad, at the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
Right? But I want to make sure my sins go before me.
Amen.
Right?
Because
if it go before me, whether it be my marriage and divorce, whether it be my lying, cheating, stealing, whatever it be, if it goes before and it's done away by the blood of Jesus Christ, then God is swept the clean, the yet slate clean. And there won't be no great white throne judgment for you to sit at.
Amen.
That's why Brother Branham said it this way. He said, make sure, let's see. All right, I'll get to it in a second. He said, make sure you don't mess up the rapture with the judgment seat. Because you see, if you go in a rapture, that's over 1,000 years before the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, before the white throne judgment comes into being. If you go in the rapture, all things will be made right. Or we're not going. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm getting at? If we don't get everything right here, there will be a seat somewhere that we have to stand there and be judged of the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. There'll be rewards or a taking away of rewards. You see, that's why it's so hard for me to drive it. I've got to drive it down to where that it can't be that the devil can come in and pick it apart. But drive it so hard, but yet not try to drive the sinner. I'm not against anything you've done in your life or what you're doing. That ain't to me. That's between you and God. But if I can do anything I can to try to help you, to get you to the point, I want to get rid of all of my sin. Yeah, but I didn't know a Christian could sin. There's a difference in sin. There is a sin that is unto death. You don't even pray for that one. So there's a difference in the word sin. So the prophet says in one place, the bride cannot sin. He didn't say she won't, and then no, he says she cannot. With another place, he says she is the only one that can sin because a sinner is condemned on a higher level. Right? So then we got to define sin. Sin is not drinking, gambling, smoking, running around with women, adultery, you know, all kind of thing. That's not sin. But what is sin? Unbelief. There is no unbelief in the bride of Jesus Christ. Because she cannot disbelieve. Because Christ in her cannot do it. But when it turns the other way, what does it do? We all have problems in the flesh. Galatians 5 tells you the works of the flesh is adultery, this, that, or the other, names it all kind of things. Right? Envy, strife. Galatians 5. But the works, works is no good. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness. He puts them right there in the same chapter, talks about the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, stature of a perfect man. But the works of the flesh. A Christian has works of the flesh. Their fruits of the Spirit covers the inward part of them and keeps them from being lost, but it still doesn't cover all of the works. Boy, I tell you what, I ask God every day to forgive me. I do too. But what about all them things you forgot about? Now, don't tell me that. Let's play putty patty, you know, a little bit with me. Let's be straight. You realize if you think something wrong today, that can be placed under the category of sin? Have you asked God to forgive you? For thinking wrong? Beside the point of doing wrong? Right? You know what I mean? You say, well, Brother Dale, I don't do wrong. You just did. You lied. That solves that problem. See, because we're human mortal beings. That's why we must have an advocate, according to the Scripture says. Which is Jesus Christ the righteous to stand in place for you and I. Well, if we're so wiped slate clean, what do we need an advocate? Well, you're making it like that the blood of Jesus Christ don't do away with everything. It don't do away with unconfessed sin.
Right. That's right.
Unconfessed unbelief. Unconfessed unbelief. You're going to have to be answered for here or there one. Works of the flesh. But fruits of the Spirit. See, Christians have fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, but we don't want to have works of the Spirit. Did you get that one?
Right. Yeah.
We better not have works of the Spirit. That's crossing it up and messing it up. We can have works of the flesh. We can do things wrong in the flesh.
Right.
But still not be lost in our spirit. But somewhere that has to be accounted for. Well, if I got something to be accounted for, I thought the blood of Jesus Christ counted for everything. I thought you was listening a while ago when the prophet said, don't. mix up the rapture with the great white throne. Well, what's his meaning? The rapture is on this side of the white throne. There's not going to be any judgment of the bride at Jesus right sitting at the white throne. The things that we don't count as sin. But have you ever just really read that? Have you ever really read it? I ain't going to get that way, but I'll get part of it. Let's go over to Galatians. If they want to get that way, if they don't, we'll read it. Galatians 5. Listen to what Paul has to say about it. Verse 13, we'll start from there. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Now he's stating it right. But by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If thou bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Now watch it. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. Okay? Now follow it. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if we be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now watch. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now follow these, but don't get your mind in so dead set of a hard thing, because take these and bring them down to our everyday life. I mean, we're not supposed to be talking about people that's dealing in adultery or witchcraft or bad hatred or heresies, but take and break these words down in simple language. Right? Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. Well, I don't commit adultery. You want to get it down low enough? You want to get it down, girls, where your clothes and things like that, you call somebody to commit adultery with you?
That's right.
Ladies? Yep. Oh, but not, but. See, that's where you're going, but. I'm not. I'm breaking words down to plain language. Adultery. Fornication. Oh, I don't commit no fornication. Go look that up. Go run it through the scripture and see what fornication really is. It's not going out in adulterous acts and things. Paul is talking to Christians. Forgive me for being smart. Paul is speaking to Christians, not to sinners in Galatians 5. So listen, uncleanness, just break that word all the way down, lasciviousness, which is simply dispute, envyings. Oh, I don't have no envyings. Murder. I'm not a murderer, Brother Dale. If you destroy somebody's name, you've murdered them. That's how simple the word can be down to. You make fun, make light, you've murdered. Come on. Drunkenness. I don't drink, Brother Dale. No. I take a little nip every once in a while, but revelings and such like. of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty serious. But the fruit of the Spirit, see, not works of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And watch now. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Sometimes just take a few minutes and sit down and take the dictionary and look up and just read these. Look up what these things mean and see if there's any of them in our lives. Right? See if we have any works. We all want fruits of the Spirit, right? See, it's not works of the Spirit. It's works of the flesh. All right? Now, let's define what the prophet is saying. A born-again Christian cannot sin from the soul. Done. Right? A born-again Christian cannot sin from the soul. So where does the rest of it start off at? Go back up and read the first thing. Where did we have it? Our brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. But if you bite and devour, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. See, church, our lives are very vital. Now, let me put it on this end of the scale where you won't lose me. Paul was talking there about eating or drinking, basically eating things that were sacrificed to idols. Remember that? All right. Now he says, if it offend my brother for me to eat meat, he said, I won't eat no more meat. But yet he turned around and said, he said, now listen, the idol is nothing and all these other things. Nothing. He said, in other words, to one person who eats, he eats with faith and no problem. The other one eats in doubt. So what is it? It's not wrong to eat something that was offered to an idol. Because we know the idol is nothing. But who is it you don't want to offend? Your brother or sister that's standing by. And then you say, well, bless God, it don't bother me to eat these things. Anybody that eats, that if saints, it's a bother to them, they need to be getting straight. No, you're the one that needs to be getting straight. Because no matter what it is, the attitude's wrong. Come on, right? The simple attitude of the heart, the words of the mouth is from the attitude of the heart. Well, Brother Dale, you talk like that there's no grace. Grace is unmerited favor, we agree. But grace is not disgrace. In other words, you say, well, what matter with that brother? He ought to get saved. He ought to get straightened out. Because, bless God, it don't bother me to eat them things. But what kind of an attitude have you got? You shouldn't be doing that. That's why Paul said it. If it offend my brother for me to eat meat, he said, I just won't eat no more meat. What did he have? He had a Christian attitude, right? Christian part of his life. that he was concerned with others. I thought we were to be living a Christian was to be living for others. I thought that was the point of Christianity, was to be living for others. And see, then that way you can understand how that we can have works of the flesh. We have wrong thoughts. I ain't going to, as Wade said a while ago, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand for me to ask you, says, if you had a bad thought today.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, we don't need to go that way because we know we had. Because we just, all of us just, we just stick our hands up and say, forget it. Cause. But you see, that's what we're looking at. Most people are thinking Christianity is giving you a right to do and whatever you want to do and just whatever takes place, it doesn't matter because you're a Christian. Now, where's that in the Bible? What kind of an attitude is that?
Amen.
Which one of those words would it fit under the works of the flesh? Fornications or adulteries or whatever. I remember one time I was talking to Brother Moulton, Brother George Canada one day about something, and we was talking. I said, well, the Bible says for you to not have nothing to do with idolatry. And they said, yeah, that's right. I said, that means idolatry. It don't mean it means my eyes is idolatered all over the place. Idolatry. I-D-O-L. Idol. You ever notice that the way it's spelled? Idolatry. I-D-O-L. That's idols. That's images. That's things you make. That's idolatry, or the idolatry, either way. See, church, we should be so concerned about each other until our lives are based upon trying to not be a hindrance to anybody, but to be a help to one another.
Amen.
But yet we want to, as I said about our using it the other day, we want to blame the other person. Somebody do something wrong to us. Well, we ought to go get that straight in a hurry, because if you don't, a few days later, you're going to start thinking, well, you know, I wasn't too bad. Give you about 2 weeks later, you're going to find out that that other guy or the other lady or sister or whatever, you're going to find out that other person was the one that was guilty and you didn't have nothing to do with it. You was a sweet, darling little old thing. Right? We start blaming everybody else for our own problems. Where does that fit in the line of Christianity? You understand what I'm saying then? A judgment seat. To give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. Where is that taking place at? It's got to be before the white throne. We can go that way. But you know what? I kind of believe it's right now.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of believe that this is why God has given us this time.
Right.
That we should have been out here a long time ago.
Amen.
We should have been in a rapture 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
I was proving that in 1974. We should have been getting out of here a long time ago. But could it be that we won't get straight? Could it be that our works of the flesh is overriding our Christian life? What about it? Let's just read these now, don't we? Go ahead, brother, to Number one, we'll just read down through on these. All right? Because what number one is covering is the white throne judgment, the book of Daniel, which is the same as Revelations 20. Now, you understand me? We've started with that scripture, that there'll be a white throne judgment. All right? And that is for the deeds done in the body. A white throne judgment. Okay. Daniel covers it. Says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down and the anointed of, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came from before him. Watch now. Thousands ministered unto him. And then 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. The same thing that John covers on the Isle of Patmos. So that's a white throne judgment. We've covered that. We don't sit at the white throne judgment. I mean, don't stand before the white throne judgment. We sit on the white throne with him.
Amen.
Right? But we also know that we say, well, what's wrong? Did the prophet preach a lot of messages about our sin? But yet, are we so smart? Are we so, you know, whatever. But Brother Dale, I don't sin. I don't commit adultery and lie, cheat, and steal. But take that word and just break it down just a little bit. And find out about the works of the flesh. All right. Then when we do, we might find out we've all got a lot of problems. You had it lately where somebody run you off the road? And they call it road rage. You get mad. Just a little thing like that. Or some little dirty word. I had to get on to people here one time because they was using some words that I don't agree with being used as Christian language. I don't even like the word D-A-M. Oh, that's a water. No, we don't, that, the way it's used is not a body of water with a wall holding it up. Right? Little simple words that we use, and our children use them, and then we get on to the children for using them.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? They're just talking like mom and daddy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? See, it might be good for us to just take a couple of months and study on the works of the flesh. Of course, a problem would be is it would wind up being no works, no flesh, because everybody would be leaving because they'd be saying, hey, Brother Dale's picking on me all the time. Well, like I said, one day you'll pat me on the back. Today you might want a knife in your hand to stab it and to do it. But I'm a Christian. I've never done anything wrong, Brother Dale. No, you have never done nothing right either because you're just lying like crazy. What about it? Okay. Romans picks up now, so let's go to that, to number two. Romans 14:10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou sit at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now that is not the white throne judgment. If you want my idea about it, I think right now is the greatest judgment time that's ever been. Because what does the Bible say? Judgment begins where? At the house of the Lord. So where does it start? Behind the pulpit. Right? Now look. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Amen. You mean, Brother Dale, we're going to have to bow down before God? We're going to have to... Uh-oh, you goofed up.
Yeah.
Do you mean if Jesus Christ walked in here right now and you knew it was him, that you wouldn't bow before him?
Amen.
You knew it was him. Now, we don't bow before devils and demons and things. But if Jesus Christ walks here, we bow before him. We'd be glad to bow. Right? So get it right. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Don't do something to make your brother or your Christian. Don't do something to make your children. Don't do things before your children. Just remember the languages they use is the language you taught them. And if you use words that are vulgar words, your children use those words, who do you blame? Well, I just little old bitty words, Brother Dale, they just don't mean nothing. I don't mean anything by it. So is that sinner when he hollers, every time he hollers, Jesus Christ. Of course, you know what I'm talking about. He puts a lot of other things in it. You think he's, oh, he ain't being bad. Well, what's he being? What about all of us? Go ahead to number four. Now don't get the rapture of the church and the white throne judgment mixed up. Now why would he say that? Well, what do you mean? I know the difference in the rapture and the white throne. Do you? Watch him. What's he covering? Don't get the rapture of the church and the white throne judgment mixed up. Because the rapture of the church, there is no judgment. Why have we been here so long and not gone in a rapture? Could it be that we have a lot of works of the flesh? Well, you know, the stature of a perfect man is supposed to be working from the inside soul out through the spirit over into the body and bring out a different person.
Amen. Right?
That's the stature of a perfect man. There is no judgment, see. You don't meet it right down here. Now listen to it. You done met, in other words, it right down here. That's right. For they which are in the, are in Christ are free from judgment.
Amen.
Jesus said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life and shall never come into the judgment,
right,
but has passed from death unto life.
Amen.
Well, Brother Dale, that means it just covers, it means it's covered with what we think, but what about what he thinks? How do you do that? We come into Christ and are baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12, one body. We're baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. And God has already judged that body. He could not stand us in judgment again because he's already judged that body. Well, that's wonderful. But are you listening to what he's saying? Why did he say, don't mix up the rapture with the white throne? If you're in the rapture, there ain't going to be no white throne.
Amen. That's right.
Do you understand?
Amen.
You understand what he's saying? If you're in the rapture, there ain't going to be no white throne.
Amen.
For you to have to stand, you know.
Right.
There ain't going to be a white throne for a born-again believer.
Amen. Right.
We sit on the throne with him.
Yes.
But just remember that maybe while we're still here, Maybe why the rapture hasn't taken place. Maybe it's because we don't follow the line to walk in the light of the Word. But Brother Dale, I've always been a good person, praise God. But what about the little things? I thought the stature of a perfect man was to take care of our outward beings by the inward working. Is that the best way to say it? By an inward working of salvation from the soul out through the spirit into the body is supposed to produce a Christian. But what if we don't let it? Well, Brother Dale, I don't like the way you talk. Well, would you mind explaining it to me? Who are we blaming for us being here 50 years after the going of a prophet? Are we blaming him? Who are we to blame? Oh, it gets quiet, don't it? You see why he's making an emphasis? Don't mix up that white throne.
Amen.
And the rapture. Because if you go in the rapture, there's not going to be any.
Amen. Right. Amen.
So maybe right now is the time we ought to be considering to think about the judgment of the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. Maybe we ought to consider right now as the time that we have an opportunity to get rid of our works of the flesh. And to get down to a sweet, humble spirit that loves one another and tries to pray for one another and to help each other.
Amen.
Then it won't be any of the works of the flesh, because that's what we need to get rid of. But it'll be the fruits of the Spirit, of love, joy. You see what I'm talking about? Works. Fruits. If we go in a rapture, I'll have to close it off because I can't go much further. If we go in a rapture, now you're going to play Hayward with my words, but I can't do nothing but talk and preach. Whatever our problems are, we'll be dealing with works of the flesh. Right? So read the works of the flesh and see if you have any of them. But read it with a sensible human thinking. Fornication. Well, I've never committed fornication. According to the book of Revelations, the old Catholic Church is covered with fornication.
Yeah, that's right.
And that we are part of that until we get out of that.
Yeah,
that's fornication.
Exactly right. Amen.
Ain't unclean living out here of adulteries and things in our life. It's unclean living in ourselves.
Right.
It's thoughts and ideas. What's wrong with you and me? What's wrong with me? Thoughts.
Yep.
You don't ever repent of your thoughts. Well, that was the devil that made me do that. I don't have to repent. Where'd you get that from?
Yeah.
What about it? Works. Could that be what's causing us to have to go by the grave? So you see what the prophet's talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Don't mix up the white throne with the rapture. Keep them in place. Rapture got to come before the white throne. Because we're going to sit on the white throne with him. And the rapture is not a bunch of group of people that are just living like the devil. But yet they claimed, like I said, well Brother Dale, Brother so-and-so said that, and I believe it. I believe that when I got born again, that done away with my marriage and a divorce problem. I want the scripture. I want the prophet. Mm-mm. Repentance is what does away with the things. I want you to get that in the next few minutes, then we'll quit. Repentance. But it's so hard. Like a man said down there at work one day, he was laughing about it. He said, to say I'm sorry, he said, that's cheap talk. He said, of course, you got problems because cheap talk means you're tied up with a lawyer, and the lawyers are many very expensive. And I just died laughing. I thought, well, that's a pretty good point. You know. But just study these things. Then we'll take this up next week. Works. See if you have any of them. Check it out in your life and see if you have any of them. Do you ever get a little bit mad because somebody says something about you or to you? Well, I'd tell them off if I wasn't a Christian. Now, what kind of an attitude is that? You might as well go ahead and tell them off because you just did. Right? You might as well just go ahead and say it. Because you just did. But church, I'm trying to get me and you to look at one thing. There is a judgment seat of Christ that we will all have to stand before. Now, I've got the prophet here. He said all of us will stand before. He said, I'll have to stand. Get it. Just run that in, judgment seat of Christ, and see how many times he talked of it. And see how that he would say, now I'm standing here in this congregation today. Said, now this brother or this sister standing here beside of me said, I don't know him or whatever. I don't, you know, but said, now if he can take over, then something else can work. And first thing you know, he'd be just talking about, well, yeah, I see you're a Christian. Why? Because he could pick that up. But did he say it covered everything? Do you think being a Christian gives you a right to go out and do anything? Well, I didn't know it was so simple. I thought it was big things that we'd done. The little foxes spoil the vine. So what is it? We'll read these others next week, a few more with it. But the main thing to talk about is one thing. If I have a wrong attitude towards you, then I've always been one thing. Please forgive me. And don't bother me for you to come tell me, I don't like you, Brother Dale. You've got problems. I say, well, I know that. Now let's get down to how to get rid of them. You know. But you see, don't never try to hide nothing. Just be what you are. Because at least that way you have an opportunity. Then you can start dealing with things and think about it. What do you think about what I've said today? That there's two judgments. There's a judgment of the white throne. But there's a judgment of the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. Now we don't, all mankind don't stand before the white throne. Right? All of them don't have to stand before the white throne in some thing. You can say, well, yeah, they do this. Well, sure they do, because they're sinners. But you see, church, we don't have to go to the white throne.
Nope.
But why do we not want our lives right in our doings today? You'll read what Brother Branham is saying. He said, if I offend or if I say this or that or the other, he said, I want to make that right. He was sincere, wasn't he? He said, I want it to be right. I don't want no trouble when it comes down to the river. I want everything to be clear. Come on, musician. I want everything to be clear. I want it all to be right. Right here. So maybe now, and I'm ending it with this thought, and we'll pick it back up. Maybe right now is the judgment seat of Christ. Because we know it's not a white throne or no thing, but what it is about now. If we judge ourselves, that's why I like the communion. I like to read that in the communion. If we judge ourselves, then we'll not be judged. Well, see, we think, well, I want to keep that hid. You're not hiding nothing.
No.
Not hiding nothing. It's going to come out somewhere.
Amen.
The best thing to do is get it out now.
Yep.
See? The bride of Jesus Christ is the most wonderful position could ever be thought of.
Yep.
And I have in no way made any reflection today in my thinking of trying to minister it unto you as to think of anything other than a born-again believer as being a born-again believer, being a Christian. But God is not going to put us at a white throne. But there is things in our lives that we need straight. The lives we live before others is our most important thing. And to find out that that rapture comes before the white throne judgment is a marvelous thing.
Yeah. Amen.
That means you don't have to go there. Because if you're going into rapture, you're clear.
Yep.
Go ahead, brother. What we got? Let's stand. Just sing a verse and we'll be through.
I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until
anybody have a need.
Just, no more,
just remember what we're talking about.
I want to love.
It's our little bitty attitude, our little bitty thought.
Just no more love, for I could never.
Just a closer walk with the Lord. Is that what you want?
Ever I love the Lord. I want to live.
You love Him?
The way He wants.
Remember wait this afternoon and remember the services. Remember Brother Louis Wednesday.
I want to live.
Just pray one for another.
To
keep our thoughts and ideas on one thing. We love God. Because He loved us. He ain't going to throw us away. That's what I love. It doesn't matter if there is a judgment of the deeds done in the flesh. It doesn't matter if I do have to stand there and say, Lord, I done something wrong to my brother. I didn't get that right. Let me get it right now. But I know that there's something within my heart that wants to be right. And just want everything right here.
I want
failure, yeah. Born one. But a desire in my heart to serve Him. Is that's your desire. Father, we just commit everything into your hands now. Guide us and keep us. Give us of thy love and understanding. Forgive us of our sins and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.